It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in all over North America. I don't know where you live. That's your business, not mine. It'd be kind of creepy if I knew where you live. But I'm in Atlanta. And thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to my main man, Julani, holding it down here with me in Georgia. We got a lot to get into here over the next 3 hours. We've been hanging out for an hour. It's been busy already. Lakers have been sold for $10 billion to the guy who owns the Dodgers. Tyrese Halliburton is a game-time decision for tomorrow. We got the Panthers who won the Stanley Cup last night, knocking off the Oilers. Now, we have so much more to get into as well. How about this? In another hour from now, I'm going to give you a top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the best and most successful sports cities in the United States of America. I don't know if Memphis is going to be on the list. Memphis has been getting kicked around a lot lately. No, the Lakers got sold. Maybe the Rays are going to be next. Caitlin Clark, man, she ain't worth $10 billion. Maybe one day she will be. I have no idea. And then we talked about Travis Kelce's weight. He said, yeah, I lost some LBs. I ain't lose 25 pounds, but I lost some weight. Well, there's another team in the AFC. They're looking to let's just say, get the monkey off their back. It's like they're carrying around dead weight. And they just added somebody who can help them. But we got a lot to do, a lot to get into. You want to be a part of the show? You can. Here's the number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief. Everywhere. On Twitter, on Instagram, on X. I'm even there on TikTok. TikTok and all this other stuff. I'm all over the place, okay? Good old time. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. At JR Sport Brief. Oh, here we go. I think I got some information here. Oh, this is this year's parade. Shout outs to Smile. I was asking about last hour. The Panthers won the World Series. Look at me. They won the Stanley Cup last night. The Florida Panthers are going to have their parade on Sunday at noon. And I'm saying to myself, and what the hell type of world? Who has a parade on a Sunday at noon? Oh, here we go. The Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Victory Parade is scheduled for Sunday in Fort Lauderdale. The parade was delayed due to the need to repair the Stanley Cup, which sustained damage during the team celebration of their consecutive champion. Shout outs to Smile. Are you kidding me?
So I'm saying the keeper of the cup does nothing. He's a waste of a job.
The Stanley Cup, the actual trophy, they screwed it up already?
There's a hole in it, I think. The top rim there was like it was chipped out or there was a hole in it.
A hole in the cup? There's a hole in the cup?
A bad dent, at least.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. Here it is. Here we go. The Panthers damaged Stanley Cup amid celebration. Oh, my God. They got to start making this thing out of titanium. What are they doing here? They cracked it. Okay. The Stanley Cup is a little banged up. Okay. The bowl is cracked. It's cracked. The trophy part is cracked, and the bottom is dented. Okay, following decades of tradition, they partied into the wee hours. They went into Fort Lauderdale Wednesday afternoon, which is a few hours ago. A spokesperson, you're going to love this botch, okay? A spokesperson for the Hockey Hall of Fame said the keepers of the cup are taking the appropriate steps and plan to have it repaired by the celebration parade on Sunday. Made of silver and a nickel alloy, the 37-pound cup is relatively malleable. Why are you making, if this thing is being packed, why don't they just make it out of Play-Doh for all of that? Come on now.
It's got to be a little bit shiny, you know? It can't just be soft and easy to break.
It's 2025. They could make a trophy that's harder to break but also still shiny. Like, what are we doing here?
It's the art of the very old cup, you know?
No.
Got to engrave it. It's got to be soft enough to engrave. There's a lot of stuff.
It's 2025. They could do it. Come on.
I'm just mad at the keeper of the cup. They have one job, to take care of the cup.
And No.
It doesn't happen.
You've been killing this keeper of the cup for 2 days now. We have to find... Do you know what exactly is in his job description outside of what his name is?
Not specifically, but I know he travels with the cup and brings it places.
Yeah, well, we know that, but is it in his job description? Is he supposed to karate chop somebody who's getting ready to drop it?
He should be. That should be one of the few rules.
Have you seen that guy? Let me relax. He's a nice guy. He's not harming nobody. Yeah, I'm trying to figure. I need the verification of this Stanley Cup. That can't be the reason.
Keeper of the Cup on Sports Management Worldwide. The Keeper of the Cup is a role steeped in tradition. Phil, his name, is tasked with ensuring the Stanley Cup safety and integrity. His duties extend beyond the finals, overseeing the engraving process of names, too.
That's more important than somebody dropping it. I mean, he can't do nothing about that. Like, does the cup belong to him? It doesn't. It belongs to the people who won it.
For a day.
A day for months?
Yeah, well, no, because each player gets it for a day, and then they engrave the names.
But it's not his. It's not his. Look, as long as this man is watching it and looking after it, once the damn thing is won, that's yours, man. That's yours. That's like them. You know that kid, Botch. You ever seen that kid? Somebody gave you a gift or gave somebody a gift, and it's theirs now. But they still treat it like it's theirs. You know what I'm talking about?
That's true.
It's like you gave this to me, or I won this, or I earned it. Why are you treating it like it still belongs to you? So at that point, it's like, hey, the Stanley Cup is done. The finals are over. The Panthers win. It's theirs. The keeper of the cup, go take a hike. I mean, you can walk around and be a part of the photo ops, and you can handle the coordination. Hey, I'm going to, I don't know. I'm going to Serbia, okay? I'm taking a cup with me for 3 days. If you got to go to Serbia, then God bless you. That guy got a free trip to Serbia with the Stanley Cup. Okay, just watch it. It's not the worst job in the world, huh?
No, it's not a bad job. It just seems kind of useless.
What's his name? Phil?
Phil.
Well, no. Yeah, man, have you seen luggage? You seen luggage get lost?
That's true, but they put this in like a music crate, you know, one of those big crates.
Yeah, and who if God forbid the Stanley Cup gets lost on Delta somewhere, who's going to get that? He got to get it. That guy got a tough job. Give him a break. His name is Phil. Phil Pritchard. Here he goes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've met this guy. I've met him. Is it appropriate to ask, have you met the Stanley Cup? Is that even like a real question?
I haven't, personally.
Yeah, okay. I've met the Cup. And you want to know who was right there? Him. I met it at Yankee Stadium a few years ago. They wheeled the Stanley Cup behind home plate. And I had a chance to take a photo and meet the Stanley Cup. And his ass was right there with the same haircut and the white gloves. Yeah. He's the only guy walking around in white gloves all year round. Okay. Good for him. He was interviewed on CBS this morning. Good for him. Not a bad
job. He's not taking care of the cup. He's on CBS.
Well, the cup was right next to him.
Okay.
All right.
It shouldn't be getting repairs at this point.
Listen. Do we need to set up an interview with him?
I'll
get him on the air. Do you want to do it or you want me to do it?
I'll reach out.
Yeah, let's get the keeper. You know how to reach. You know how to get to. Let's get the keeper the cup here on the air. Okay.
I'll work on that.
Thank you. Giving him so much crap. Let's get him on the air. What is your job? What do you do? What are you keeping? If the thing gets lost in luggage, do you got to wait for it to come out? Come on, man. And shout outs to the Panthers. I still have to see if the reason why they slowed things down is, because of the injury to the cup. I'm talking about the cup as a person. Anyway, here's some news from Magic Johnson. Upon learning that the Los Angeles Lakers have been sold for $10 billion from the Buss family to Mark Walter, Guggenheim Partners, this is what Magic Johnson had to say. I just want to know, does LeBron feel the same way? Laker fans should be ecstatic. A few things I can tell you about Mark. He is driven by winning, excellence, and doing everything the right way. And he will put in the resources needed to win. I can understand why Genie sold the team to Mark, because they are just alike. They're competitive people, big hearts, love to give back, and both prefer to be behind the scenes. This makes all the sense in the world. I am so, so happy and excited for the Lakers and their fans all over the world. That is Magic Johnson on the Los Angeles Lakers being sold to Mark Walter. $10 billion. Yeah, man. Wow. Good. Yeah, I mean, look, if the guy who owned the Dodgers bought my team, I'd be happy too. As simple as that. Hey, Bacha, you're a fan of the Mets, right? Met fan, Long Island Met fan, right?
Yep, Mets fan.
Were you happy when Steve Cohen finally bought the team, or were you pessimistic about what was going to take place?
Well, I was so happy that he bought the team, but I was a little worried that the other owners wouldn't vote him in because he would have so much money compared to everybody else.
Oh, you thought he'd be driving up the price and making things bad for everybody, huh?
Well, I thought the owners would be jealous of him, so they'd try not to let him in the first place and would be stuck with Wilpon still. But yeah, I'm happy he's here.
Lo and behold, it's the Dodgers and then him, right? I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, the richest teams. I hope they'd have money.
Well, I mean, you can have money to spend. I don't mean that you're gonna do it.
They should. That's the issue.
Well, should. But I'm saying the point is that he did buy the team, and I think even when it comes down to any type of arms race, and I don't know if it's a part geographics, which I certainly think it is. The Dodgers are the spenders right now, or at least they're the ones that are ending up with the stars. And I think it's really the proximity to Japan. I think it's as simple as that. I think it's the weather. I think it's the lifestyle. And all I got to do is cross the Pacific Ocean. I don't got to go across a landmass and an ocean. I thank God. If I was a Japanese superstar and the New York Mets said he has $500 million and the Dodgers said he has $500 million, I would take the Dodgers' money. I don't care if they had another Japanese player on the team. I'd be like, okay, I'm closer to home. You give me a lot of money. The weather is better. And then it's less stress. Everything I hear about New York is that the media, they're a pain in my ass. They're going to put me on the back page of the paper. And Los Angeles, man, nobody cares. They're like, man, where can I get a smoke? Like, what beach am I going to today? You know, what am I doing on Sunday? Not a parade with the Florida Panthers, so. And I think that's the only reason. I think it's proximity. Are you happy with what the Mets have done from a free agent perspective?
Oh, I'm extremely pleased. You got Juan Soto, and you offered him the biggest contract ever. I can't really complain when you've made actual efforts the last 3 or 4 years to spend money and try to build a World Series team.
Yeah, it's completely opposite from the Wilpons. I mean, damn it, I think last week we did a top 6 list of cheap owners. Man, if the Wilpons still own the New York Mets, you can bet your behind the Wilpons would be right there on the top 6 list when it comes to cheapskates. It's pretty cool that they're not even discussed at this point. Like, they're never brought up unless it's about how they sold the team and they were cheap. Yeah, whole new era, whole new day. Los Angeles Lakers getting moved. Wow. $10 billion. And you know what? The Lakers aren't the only team that might get moved. I think this team is worth a whole hell of a lot less. Let's just, I know that. Apparently, the Tampa Bay Rays, who were on the list last week of having a cheapskate owner, Sternberg, was sued by his own buddies at one point in time, his partners. Apparently, the Rays might get moved, and they will stay in Tampa. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Take a listen to this, courtesy of Foul Territory.
This might be happening. Might be happening. The Rays could get sold, and it would be MLB's dream. They hate the Rays. True story. They have treated the Rays so differently from the A's. The name of the front runner here, Patrick Zalupski?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're in advanced talks to sell the team to this Jacksonville developer, mm-hmm. Rich Mann, signed a letter of intent to
purchase
the team.
What does that mean? He has to go to college there?
There is a letter of intent. John Heyman says, one caveat, such letters are non-binding. Stu Sternberg, owner of the Rays right now, has come close to but pulled out of deals in the past.
Yeah, come on. A letter of intent is akin to a whole lot of nothing. Send me the money. Let's put it on paper. Let's get the a letter, an LOI. an MOU. Listen, all of them are fancy letters. Shout out to all the lawyers out there. They're fancy letters that can amount to nothing. Like, we just had an entire situation with the Minnesota Timberwolves where Alex Rodriguez and I forgot the gentleman's name, Laurie, something like that. They ended up buying a portion of the team from Glenn Taylor. And then Glenn Taylor, even with them putting in money, he goes, oh, nope, you didn't put in the money fast enough, so I'm not selling you the team. They had to go to arbitration, which they agreed to do as an early condition, a contingent of the sale. And they ended up saying, okay, well, Alex Rodriguez gets the team. Like, what are we doing here? So you can have a letter of intent. That is amount to a whole lot of, yeah, I'd like to buy the team, I'm serious, and nothing more. And so, I don't know. The Rays are just going to be stuck in just, I don't want to say mediocrity. They're going to be stuck in an odd space for a long time. And I feel bad for the fans that they do have, or the ones that did show up. You have 19,000 of them who went to a playoff game in a place that holds 45,000 people. What can I say? Who wants to go out to St. Pete? Nobody. Sorry about that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We talked about the keeper of the cup. We talked about rich owners and cheap owners. And I just told you about a team that might get traded. I didn't forget. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about Jair Alexander, the newest member of the Baltimore Ravens. I could tell you somebody who's very happy, his former college teammate, the quarterback, the multiple-time MVP, Lamar Jackson. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Right before we went to break, I told you about a team. They're trying to turn things, well, forget turn things around. Baltimore Ravens just, they just need to finally win. They just need to win. I hate to steal a line from Al Davis. I know he ain't got nothing to do with the Baltimore Ravens. God rest his soul. Just win, baby, win. Like, that's all they got to do. Like, I've been here, let's see, how long I've been here now on the Infinity Sports Network? I've been here for 5 years. Before that, I was doing New York radio. Before that, I guess after that, I was doing Atlanta radio. But now I'm here talking to everybody. And for 5 years, the conversations surrounding the Ravens have been, well, Lamar Jackson, he ain't no real quarterback. Lamar Jackson, he's just a running back. Lamar Jackson needs to play wide receiver. And we see what the hell this man has done. Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. I say it. He just doesn't have a championship yet. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks that we've ever seen in the league. He just doesn't have a championship yet. And if the man is healthy, and God bless him, he's been healthy the past couple of seasons, there's nothing left to do. There's not another MVP. There's not another rushing title. There's not another 12-win season. People want to see them get over the hump. That's it. And so when it comes down to me, I expect the Baltimore Ravens to run the football, punch you in the mouth. I expect Lamar to have a ridiculously high touchdown to interception ratio, to rush for 1,000-plus yards, even now with Derrick Henry. I expect some great things. But it's not all on Lamar Jackson. Everybody needs a little bit of help, right? Baltimore Ravens are no different. You take a look at this team last year. Passing defense, one of the worst in the league. One of the worst. And now they've picked up Jair Alexander. Yeah, you, multiple-time Pro Bowler from the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers are like, man, we're paying you a lot of money. And you've been real hurt the past 2 years. He has only played 7 games each the past 2 seasons. You can just spin the bottle on a body part and it's probably been hurt on this guy, okay? His shoulder, his groin, his knee, his back. He sounds like an orthopedic surgeon's dream at this point in time. He used to play with Lamar Jackson at Louisville. And now they're reunited, and I assume it feels so good. Here, take a listen. This is from CBS Sports HQ. Breaking it down, Jair Alexander making his way to Baltimore.
Breaking news, Jair Alexander is heading to the Baltimore Ravens on a one-year, $6 million deal after the Packers cut him earlier this month. Spent seven seasons in Green Bay, was a two-time Pro Bowler, but he's been slowed by injuries. Again, it's a one-year deal, $6 million, and he reunites with his former college teammate at Louisville, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Jair Alexander was out there at Louisville from 2015 to 2017. And he might have known a little bit of something. I would assume he would. This is his friend. Lamar Jackson was just talking to the media yesterday during minicamp. And he pretty much said, like, yeah, I talked to him about potentially coming here. But, of course, he wasn't going to show his cards. Listen to what Lamar had to say yesterday.
Accomplished cornerback available. Have you gotten a chance?
Go get him, Eric. I love all our corners, don't get me wrong, but go get him, Eric.
Have you gotten a chance to talk to Jair about coming here?
Yeah, I hit him up, but you know, you don't know. You never know with Jair. That's my boy, man.
You never know. And then the very next day, we learned that he has signed a one-year, $4 million contract with the Baltimore Ravens. He can make up to $6 million with another two in incentives and not too shabby. And don't feel bad for the guy. Now, only $4 million. I mean, when the Packers signed him, they gave him a $30 million signing bonus. This was only a couple seasons ago. So I think he is A-OK. And when you think about that room between the defensive backs and the safeties, it's looking good in Baltimore. I think it's rather cool. Marlon Humphrey? I love Kyle Hamilton. Shout-outs to Notre Dame. Nate Wiggins? Shout outs to Georgia. Malachi Starks, shout outs to Georgia as well. They can't be as bad as they were last year. They can't. But we're going to find out. I guess we'll find out in January. Because when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens, like I said, unless somebody gets hurt, 12 wins, 13 wins, the Baltimore Ravens are going to the postseason. Please, let's just get it done. They are not. Two other teams. There are not two other teams that I love to see get a championship more. And it's kind of crazy because I know their fan bases hate each other. I can really judge that off of all the smack and crap talk that they give me here on the radio. Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Like, I want to see Josh Allen win a championship. I want to see Lamar Jackson go out there and win a championship. And it's like neither one of these dudes can just get past Patrick Mahomes. It's like he has their, I can't say that on the radio. He has them on lock, okay? Let's just go ahead and put it that way. And so let's see what happens this upcoming season with the Ravens. More importantly, let's see what they do come playoff time, unless there's a travesty and they do not make it. Even outside of that, Lamar Jackson didn't just talk about Jair Alexander at the point in time potentially joining the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson was naturally asked about his own contract. Because at this point in time, the deal that he signed a few years ago, he has been jumped and passed multiple times over. Dak Prescott is now the highest paid QB in the game at $60 million. And let's be real. If you want to talk about career accomplishments, who is more accomplished? Is it Lamar Jackson or is it Dak Prescott? Some of the other players now paid more than Lamar Jackson include Brock Purdy, who's getting $53 million a year, just got paid by the 49ers. Jared Goff, who's been to a Super Bowl, but damn it, we know this guy. He ain't Lamar Jackson. Even Justin Herbert is making more than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson comes in at 10th. Justin Herbert is making $500 million more than him. Lamar Jackson negotiated his own contract. You know, he and Eric DaCosta, you know, they're working on a new deal, thinking about how much he's going to get paid. And Lamar Jackson, he made it a point yesterday when asked about his contract. He said, I ain't talking about no money. Stop asking.
You know, I never discuss contract situations here. But, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Hey, Lamar, is that okay with you?
Yeah, I want to talk about my money. Like, I remember when he was doing that first contract and he didn't have. He's getting killed. People were calling him stupid. People were saying that he was screwing up. People were saying that he was going to be underpaid. I think the guy hit the jackpot. And I know NFL contracts typically fall in the range. I don't think you can take more than 3% in the NFL. NFL, NBA, not too far off. It's about 3, 4%. And so, yeah, it's good money. But if I don't have to pay anybody, and if I have the help and the assistance of the Players Association, who pretty much negotiated what I can and can't have in the contract with the league, then why not? And it's not like Lamar Jackson is one of these guys who needs leverage with a team. It's not like he's one of these dudes who needs a compare and contrast as to what's going on. It's very simple here. I'm one of the best. I'm one of the highest, one of the most accomplished. That guy's making more. I need what he has, plus some. It seems like an easy negotiation to me. This ain't no fly-by-night dude at the end of the bench looking for a job and an opportunity, and he needs comparisons. Lamar Jackson knows if Dak is making 60, ante up. Give me the loot. Lamar Jackson, the reporter continued on, asking him about his deal, his contract, what he's looking for. Lamar Jackson asked about if he was trying to be the highest paid. He's just like, he told the jokey joke. Listen.
Paul said, though, that once it gets done, you're going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. I mean, that must sound pretty good to you, right?
Jameson. Sound good.
He said, keep messing with me. It sounds good. Yeah, he'll get there. And Dak is the highest paid because he plays for the Cowboys. And the fact that Jerry Jones is stupid. When it comes to making football decisions, I ain't going to call no oil billionaire stupid. Or maybe accidentally you run into the oil. I have no idea. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are 30 minutes away from a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the top sports cities in the United States of America. I'm going to tell you one city that is not on the list. On the other side of the break, they have been in the news. They have been getting beat up. I'm like, what did this city do to have such a discourse over the past week? I think partially we can blame Stephen A. Smith. Maybe he's running for office. I have no idea. I'm going to tell you what city it is on the other side. We'll talk about some of the best sports cities. We have so much more to do on the JR Sport Brief Show, but right now it is time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. At the top of the hour in 20 minutes, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. I'm going to take a look at some of the best sports cities in the United States of America. Unfortunately, I got to tell you two cities that aren't on the list. Let me start here with one of them. And there's a correlation, but be patient. Cleveland is not on the list. Sorry. I think to the shock of probably nobody, do not expect to hear Cleveland, Ohio on the list. But apparently, there is a player who's had an issue in Cleveland, Ohio, or the suburbs of, in Strongsville. Shador Sanders. This man was cited for speeding yesterday morning in Strongsville, Ohio. Police records show he was stopped for driving 101 miles per hour in a 60 mile per hour zone. Apparently, he was driving a black Dodge TRX truck. He was on I-71. I don't know what time of day. Not what you want if you're trying to stay out of the news. Apparently, he has to pay a $250 fine or just, you know, go to court. You know, if you're Shador Sanders, I don't care where you got drafted. Just pay the $250. Go about your day. Okay, damn. 101 and a 60? That's rough. That's DTM. That's doing too much. We know his dad was dealing with health issues. We still don't know what it is. And you know he heard it from his father. What are you doing? I'm out here defending you from being a knucklehead, and this is what you do. And you know he heard about this from his father. And if you're Shedeur Sanders, man, you should know better. The guy's been beaten from pillar to post. Now, certainly he's entitled to having a private life. He's entitled to do what he wants to do. But when you're out on the road, there ain't nothing private about that. That is very public. You can harm yourself and you could harm others. Now, I'm not going to sit here like I'm on some royal pulpit. I've gotten some speeding tickets, a couple in my life. And so I certainly understand. But if you're Shedeur, damn, bruh, you want to stay on out the way. Don't make no mistakes. This is not going to help his cause. The next time he has to face the media, likely next month, somebody's going to ask him about this. Unless there's a million terrible other things going on, he's going to be asked about this. As it stands right now, the Browns haven't said anything, and apparently neither has Shedeur. If I'm Shedeur, do you even want to get out in front of this? Do you want to leave it alone? Do you just want to go, hey, I made a mistake? He's going to have to answer to this one way or the other, regardless of whether he wants to or not. This can lend itself to the conversation as to whether or not, you know, he's ready or he can present himself properly. Bad situation. Just don't drive 101 in a 60. OK, save that for the racetrack. And he's not the only dude who's been caught doing something he has no business doing. And I think maybe these two guys should switch vehicles. Zach Edey. Yeah, you heard me. A 7'4", 900 pounds or whatever the hell he is. That's a giant man. He is a massive dude. I watched him warm up when they came here. I was standing right next to him on the court. This guy's a giant. He's a giant. Let's just put it that way. I won't put anything extra on. That's a giant man, okay? He was going 101 miles per hour and at 55 mile per hour zone. He just had surgery. He had a procedure done on his ankle. And Botcher, you want to hear what he was driving? You ready for this?
I'm afraid it's gonna be like a Mini Coupe or something like that.
He was in, yes, a Kia Sorento.
Oh, that's pushing it with the speeds.
How does Zach Edey fit in a Kia Sorento?
It's 2025. You know, they have new ways to make Kias roomy for people who are giants. Maybe smaller cushions, less chairs.
There's no back seat, huh?
The one seater, maybe.
Yeah, there's no back seat. Just get in the back and drive. Man. According to the news for Zach Edey, he was in Indiana. Come on, Purdue Boilermaker. Okay, he was in Indiana. And, when did he get popped? When was this? Yeah, I don't know the day, but he got hit recently. Damn. May 1st. Okay, last month. What a guy. And in Indiana, that is a little bit of a crime. A little bit of a crime. Charged with a misdemeanor. He's scheduled for an initial court hearing on June 23rd. Man, that big ass guy walking to the courtroom. You just go, what? What are you doing here? Anyway, listen, I know we got a lot of people listening on the roadways. It's all over the country. Be safe, please. Be safe. Think about yourself and others. I know I've gotten a speeded ticket or two here. I know. But be safe. Think about other people trying to go home, trying to see their families. It's just it's a natural thing. Sometimes you're trying to get where you're going. It's a natural thing. You drive every day. You go a little fast and you go, oh, but 101 miles per hour. Let's take it easy. And speaking of Memphis, oh, my goodness. Home of Zach Edey, where Zach Edey plays basketball. Hopefully he plays with that new ankle injury and surgery. Stephen A. Smith has been beaten up on Memphis. Damn. We know that Desmond Bane has moved on from the Orlando Magic, traded from the Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic. And so there's been a lot of talk about Memphis and what the team does and can they attract other talent? Who wants to play in Memphis with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.? And Stephen A. Smith went a little further. He's just like, ain't nobody trying to go play in Memphis. People have told me that it's dangerous. Listen to this.
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people. But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know. They've told me.
Damn. Tell me how you really feel. What did Memphis do to him? And if I'm Jimmy Butler, I'm sitting around going, what did I do? Like, why do I got to be the example? I'm just out here minding my business. Why are you telling people I'm scared of Memphis? Well, that I wouldn't play in Memphis, that I think Memphis is dangerous. Jimmy Butler couldn't open one of his coffee shops in Memphis? I don't know. Is it because of Young Dolph? I don't know. There's a lot going on. Worry about Ja Morant. I'd be worried about that. Can he stay healthy? Can he not be a pain in the ass? Can he stay off of social media? Can he stay out of a strip club? I'd be more worried about that than anything going on in Memphis. And Ja Morant actually responded to Stephen A. Smith online. And it's just like, oh, man, he's a liar. And Stephen A. Smith naturally had a response. But by the way, he's not the only person that, I don't know if this is a joke or sarcasm. And Bill Simmons put in his two cents. He was on his show with Chris Vernon. And he said, yeah, I'm good with Memphis. Like, walking very fast through the city.
I got to spend probably like 5-6 days there for the Western finals that time.
Yeah.
I loved it. I power walked everywhere. The food, I had to power walk because of the food. But no, it's
super damaging for somebody to go on national TV and say players don't want to go there because.
Yeah, that's kind of rough. That's a lot. Stephen A. Smith didn't back down. Listen to this.
You know, I'm a brother. I look at Memphis as being a city, you know, with a lot of black folks in a red state. That's a tough position to be in. That's just a fact when we're talking about Memphis. But the mayor of Memphis made a comment speaking up for the city and invited me to come. Sir, I have friends in the city of Memphis, longtime friends that I've known for decades. And I'm in Memphis quite frequently. I know a little thing or two about Memphis. So let me get that out of the way first. But in fairness to the mayor, Mr. Paul Young of Memphis, Tennessee, I want to throw this out there. And I thought it was important. Total crimes have decreased by 13.3%. Violent crimes have dropped by 19%. Poverty crimes have fallen by 20%. Total homicide rates have fallen as well in the year 2024. Okay, so when you're talking about that, violent crimes, we're talking about robberies have decreased, rape has decreased. So all of that sounds good because it's moving in the right direction, but it's still recognized as one of the worst cities in America.
This is a sports show on a weekday morning. That's why Ja Morant is just like, bro, the NBA finals are going on right now. Why are you beating up on the city of Memphis? Like, there's not a more constructive way to have this conversation. But we know Stephen A. Smith is interested in a lot of things outside of sports. This is somebody has been putting his ear, hey, he could be president. Maybe one day he will. And what a sad ass world that we're going to live in. Right. It seems to be that case in a lot of cases over the past several years. What a wild place, man. Now he's just talking about anything, anytime, anywhere. Like, talk about how nobody wants to play in, you know, with Morant. Like, we got to take a dump on the city. And, of course, everybody in the city is just like, well, come visit. And then I've also seen some threats to him. Okay. Maybe Stephen A. Smith will be playing too much solitaire to pay attention to some of these threats. But why are you beat up on Memphis for? And why are you throwing people like Jimmy Butler under the bus? He didn't open up his mouth. Not like Jimmy Butler would ever sit in front of a microphone and go, hey, Jimmy, would you entertain playing for the Grizzlies? And Jimmy goes, no, I think the city is too dangerous for an NBA player. I think I get robbed. Like, that's just doing too much. Shout outs to Memphis. I have been to a lot of places. Memphis is one of the few places in this country, major cities or markets or the sports team that I have not been. You can go ahead and put Salt Lake City in the same category as Memphis. I think everywhere else I've probably been to. Damn. Hey, Botch, you ever been to Memphis?
I haven't, but I would enjoy going to Memphis. Heard there's good barbecue, right? And isn't Graceland near there?
Yeah, give me the food. Yeah, just give me the food. I think I'm good. If a city has good food, I think I'm okay with that. Like, I could sit here and bash some cities, but why would I do that? Who wants to do it? People live that. First of all, there ain't no perfect place. Not in America, not on planet. There's not a perfect place. Every place has its goods. Every place has its bads. And certainly some places are worse than others. But I think to take a dump on a city on national TV is just not fair. I've been to Memphis. I've been to Memphis. I visited Memphis. I know people in Memphis. Well, go stay. Go live down there. You love it so much. You don't dislike it. Damn. Memphis ain't bothering nobody. Anyway, John Morant, I think eventually he's going to be gone, though. If they can move him. But they can't because he's never healthy. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. If I was Memphis, I'd be worried about that. Hey, we're minutes away from a new top six list. And this is not a debate. Well, it can be. But I'm going to give you a top six list of the best sports cities in the United States of America. I'm going to take a look at six cities that I think are just, they're the creme de la creme. They're the cream of the crop. They're the top of the top when it comes down to sports and sports culture and championships and their fan bases and just sports, period. Like, what even constitutes a great sports city? Well, I'm going to tell you, you're about to find out on the other side of the break. It's a new top six list. Top six sports cities in the United States of America. That list is coming on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.